It's the F1 show here on the Bagel Tech Network with me, Ewan Rankin, and we've got the Indian Grand Prix to discuss, the inaugural Indian Grand Prix, no less. Fabulous panel. Top left, Cyrano de Bergerac. Hello, mate.
Happy Halloween. How are you?
I'm all right, mate. So you've been out trick-or-treating, I take it. Either that or drinking.
My kids are too young to go trick-or-treating, so I feel a bit lost. I've just been greeting everyone that comes to my house dressed like this.
Good on you.
So no one came anywhere near me. So I saved all the sweets for myself and my family.
Good man. How have you been?
Excellent. Yeah, not too bad. How was your holiday?
It was good. It was good. We got very cold on the Friday morning. It really dropped in temperature on the Friday, but the rest of it was fantastic. I've had a wonderful time trying to fly a camera that's way too heavy under a kite, and my son caught head lice from National Health helmets at the slate mine in Blano, Festiniog. So
lovely.
It was one of those holidays where nothing went right particularly, but it wasn't bad. It was actually quite entertaining as a result. So
excellent. And, welcome back.
Thank you, mate.
We missed you. We all missed you.
No, you didn't. You lying gits.
Yeah, we did.
I saw all the grief. I managed to watch the big show. I got plenty of stick. Mr. Blunt from Nottingham, finally not working. How you doing, pal?
I'm all good. Yeah, and great to be not working for once.
Good lad. Did you enjoy the inaugural Grand Prix?
Mm.
Oh!
What?
India shouldn't be getting it again, or should?
Yeah, I think it should. Yeah.
Good. I thought it was great. I thought really good looking track.
It's a brilliant track.
Mm.
Maybe the race wasn't that great, but
no. Some of the camera angles were a bit cack as well, weren't they? But beneath him, we've got Mrs. Sarah Gray. How you doing, mate?
Hello. How are you? Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween to you as well. On the unscary camera angle now.
Well, I thought we'd have a go earlier. Played with the sound effects as well.
Oh, blimey. How did you rate India then?
Okay. The race wasn't, like Tony said, the race I didn't think it was that brilliant, apart from a couple of incidents. But the track I thought was great. It was fantastic.
Well, you'll see in a minute the level of detail that I've had to go to find anything interesting to talk about. And last but by no means least, bottom left, joining us for the very first time. We've never had the five-way setup before on the F1 show. So it's all thanks to you, Chris. Christopher Woods, how's it going, mate?
Not bad, sir. Yourself?
I'm great. From This Week in Nonsense.
Yes, indeed. And many other things, but that's probably my crowning achievement, along with Joe.
And part-time lawyer.
Oh, yes, of course, yes. Everything I learned, I didn't learn from you.
No, you didn't, absolutely. Right, so the week in F1 then. Right, first impressions. Let's go on the track itself. What do we think to the new track?
I liked it. This is one thing I did notice. It was the first thing I did when I got the new F1 game. You know, I went straight to that track to have a look, you know, see what it was going to be like. And, you know, took a few laps to get used to it, but it really was fast and flowing when I got used to it.
Great. So the sim was close. Because, of course, all the drivers have been racing in sims, haven't they, for the last sort of 8 months?
Yeah, I think the drivers were raving about it after as well, weren't they?
Yeah, they all said it was great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Loved it to bits.
I think the main problems were with things like security, you know, because they had the stray dogs and things like that.
Really? I didn't see any of those.
It was in one of the practice sessions, actually got red flagged because of a stray dog running along the track. It was a bit like Turkey a couple of years ago.
Oh, Turkey, it would be lucky it made it out of the, wasn't someone's dinner.
Yeah, I said the same thing I tweeted out. It's lucky it wasn't Korea.
Yeah, we've got to be careful, actually, because, it is the Indian Grand Prix, and there are the obvious stereotypes that we could draw upon, which would be politically incorrect. So let's draw on them, shall we? I thought it was a bit of a risk scheduling a two-hour race in India. Having had some friends who've played cricket out there, 2 hours is an awful long time with clenched buttock cheeks.
As DC found out, apparently, after the race.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's where he went.
Yeah, he never appeared on the forum, did he?
And no, he didn't.
Tweeted out that he'd been taken ill after the race. And he was wearing them white jeans.
Oh, with his white jeans. Oh,
I mean, that's always the joke, isn't it? If any tour party goes to India, they get the runs before they even start playing cricket. And it's one of those locations that you do take your life in your arse a bit if you go there. but it's a locals venue, isn't it? It's like southern France, Marseille. Mm. Don't drink the water in Marseille. That's another one. So I like the track. I've got to say, I thought it looked really good. I thought some of the camera angles were great, and some of the camera angles were naff. I mean, there was some real. I mean, this camera angle here, I thought was really, really gorgeous. It showed you the elevation. Mm. It showed you how it swept down across. Mm. You know, and some of the turns from what some of the guys were saying. You know, they'd come up, crest a hill, and then all of a sudden there'd be a hairpin at the crest of the hill and that kind of stuff. So it was really, really nice.
It's turn 9-10, isn't it?
Well, that's very impressive, Sarah.
Yeah, just great watching them go around there, wasn't it? You know, then. Yeah, basically almost back on themselves, but not quite.
Can I ask you a question, Tony?
Yeah.
On your simulator, mm-hmm. i.e. your PS3 or your Xbox, did it have those huge curbs, the big yellow things or whatever?
Nope.
Not that I remember.
So they've been painted on in the last week then?
They didn't take wheels off.
Bolted on because it was like, they were calling in the baguettes, weren't they?
I think when they developed the track in the game, they were working off laser scans of the track as it was then, and then they just made the rest up.
Yeah,
I got the game as well, and there's no baguettes in that track.
Mm.
And the rest going off whatever plans they had access to as well, I suppose. Yeah,
there
is. And if you're Felipe Massa, you need to look out for the orange bits.
Oh God, yeah.
Which he failed to do on both during the quali and the race.
I mean, you've got to say Massa really. It's going to be a race to forget, hasn't it, for him?
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I was thinking, what was he doing? Driving there. It's like they're taking curb, and then there's just he tried to cut it almost, didn't he?
We did exactly the same thing on the quali on one side of the car, and then did exactly the same thing on the opposite side of the track on the other side.
Yeah. It just broke different parts of the car, didn't it?
Well, it was the same part, but one was on the left, one was on the right.
Got to even it up, haven't you?
Yeah. It was. I mean, it was amazing how similar the incidents were.
Yeah.
Well, there was a lot of curbing, and the curbs did look pretty high. I really thought some of them were. But they were taking them like they were flat curbs at a lot of times and paying the price for it badly, definitely.
I was a little surprised that the Ferrari couldn't take the strain. I know they designed them very differently for vertical and horizontal loads, but we've seen in the past that the Ferrari suspension and the push rods and things are perhaps more resilient than some other cars because, Alonso likes to drive a bit fast and rough sometimes. And they
I don't know if we've seen that this season, though. It's like the last couple of seasons, maybe, but I'm not sure so much this season.
Go ahead, Sarah.
I was going to say, I wondered whether, the Ferraris had that wobbly front wing. And I wondered whether they were less tolerable of those curbs because of that. I know Alonso didn't do it, but then maybe he didn't get quite so close.
I mean, let's talk front wing. Because, I mean, I've got a picture there of it sparking out a few times on one of the laps. Thank you, BBC. But, I mean, someone's got to get fired for that. That was just abhorrent. I mean,
they were lucky not to get black flagged for that.
Really? Well, are you sure that a black flag seems a bit harsh?
Are you kidding?
Yeah, I'm not. I think black flag seems really harsh.
Why?
It's not putting anyone else in danger.
Oh,
yeah, but that was from him running too far over the curb, though, wasn't it? It's like everyone else managed to take much less of the curb. I don't know why, but Massa seemed to be taking a lot more of it.
No. This was. The wobbly thing was on the straights, and it was wobbling as it was going over the undulation.
Wasn't it after he'd gone across the curb?
No,
really no, badly.
This was a new one that was. Well, fitted.
No, both front wheels are straight, so it can't be.
That was. I think that was during qualifying, wasn't it, or practice when they had a wobbly wing?
Well, no,
just at speed.
This image is one taken after he's had the cone replaced after his little contretemps with Hamilton. So that's midway through the race.
He had to pit for it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find on my notes when it was.
Well, he had to pit for his penalty.
The coming together was on lap 24. So.
Yeah, no, he had to pit for his penalty and do his drive through, and then he went back in to fix it. And
It's lap 32 after the drive through that he took on lap 30.
Yeah. Well, 31 he got given the penalty, didn't he? 32 he had the drive-through, and then after that he got the repairs. But he was wobbling after the repairs.
But you think I think it's quite a stroke of genius, actually, by Ferrari, because they've now coming to the end of the season. Why not stick some parts on the car that are a little bit, you know, experimental, new? Why not? You know, that's the best time of the year to do it. Get things right for the start of the next season.
But dude, that looks like an
extended test session almost.
That looks like it's a rear wing off a Barry Boy Reliant Robin. I mean, it's not. It's wobbling like it's been made in my back garden. You're talking about a team here that spend 300 million quid's worth of tyres a year.
Well.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing to remember, of course, is it could have sliced, if it had gone really badly wrong, it could have sliced through a tyre and that could have had horrendous consequences.
Yeah. I think hanging, drawing and quartering was a little bit harsh though, Sarah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it could have been.
I tend to agree. I don't, you know, as Steve says, what have they got to lose? Both championships have gone. They were never going to catch McLaren for second place in the constructors.
So let's replace everything with rubber parts.
Well, no, but certainly for trying. So you can't blame them for trying them at this part of the season.
But then again, though, whoever the engineer is, I reckon the engineer who designed that is a friend of Massa.
Why?
Because Massa's thought, oh bugger, my mate, he's in trouble now. He's designed this dodgy wing made out of jelly and he's going to get a bit of a kick in. What can I do to distract him from getting all of the attention of the crew? I tell you what, I'll drive into my mate Hamilton. That'll save him from getting a bit late.
If he'd been a friend of Massa, surely he would have got it put on Alonso's car, wouldn't he?
Maybe.
Well, there was a certain serendipity, you have to say, about the Hamilton-Massa saga this year, because they've been drawn next to each other. They've come out of the pits together. There was an actual thought process that after the coming together, with the penalty for the drive-through and the time that had been lost with the interchange between the two and the repair of the parts, Massa nearly emerged back into traffic with Hamilton. Although a slight,
it's a magnet in there. One of the cars has got a magnet for the other.
God is saying, fellas, get your gloves, go round the back of the gymnasium and sort this out once and for all.
Yeah.
And I thought,
the two boxes.
I don't know if you've seen the news today, Steve. Guy. Oh, very good.
Thanks to the inspiration of Steve, I thought we could put on a little bit of a show round the back of the gymnasium, metaphorically, between Massa and Hamilton. Now, that's Massa in a set of gloves, and he does look a certain bit Dick Emery. It's not really right, is it? It doesn't fit. But Steve sent me a picture of Hamilton, and I put a boxing glove on that. And the picture of Hamilton with a boxing glove on, that looks scary. He's a proper Tyson fan right there, mate. That's working for him.
Is that Hamilton? That's Alonso behind him, isn't it?
Oh, he's getting ready to club punch him from the back. Bit of rabbit punching, that'll be it.
That's Alonso though, isn't it? That's not Massa, unfortunately. Otherwise, that would make a fantastic photo.
It's like a George Bush moment, isn't it? I've just had a press conference. Now watch me hit this Spaniard.
I don't know if you guys have seen the news today, but apparently Martin Whitmarsh has come out and slightly blamed Jensen's good form for Lewis performing so badly this season.
Well, I don't get that. I really don't get that.
Jensen?
Yeah. It's like, considering they've been saying all season, oh yeah, you know, it's like, just sort out a number one driver, you know, because they've been saying all season, oh no, we don't have a number one, haven't they? When, you know, Jensen's really earned it, I think, you know, with the way he's driven. He's been consistent. He's been smooth.
Yeah,
he's managed to stay out of most trouble.
Right, let's get serious though. Okay, who's got notes? Who took notes through the race? See,
I've got notes.
Hold up your notes. I can't
hold them up because they're on the screen. Exactly.
But who's done research to find out why the heck Hamilton had Bob Marley on his helmet?
Right,
he's a fan.
Before we go any further,
all right.
I just want to get some bragging rights here.
Okay.
Because I said, you know what's happened? Nicole's chucked him. And I said that at the last Grand Prix.
Within
3 days. Sorry, Lewis, but I was right, mate. I can spot woman trouble from a mile off.
Yeah, and I decried that as well. I agreed. I did. I thought that wasn't true.
There you go.
So that's why I tweeted you about it.
Take it back.
Yeah, you really called that, mate. Yeah.
I am Mystic Meg mixed with Claire Rayner. That's me. I'm empathetic. Claire Rayner, she's been agony aunt, didn't she, on GMTV?
She used to be an agony, yeah.
In the Mirror. Well, she's dead now. She can't do it anymore. So I think that's a bit harsh, Steve. She's gone, yeah, mate.
Oh.
Yeah, it's early this year, late last year, wasn't it?
Do you know what you can do there, love? Right, anyway, go on, back to your theory then, Steve. What's your theory?
Well, does anyone else, after many hours of Googling, why the heck he's got Bob Marley on his helmet?
Yeah, I found out sort of shortly after the race, yeah.
What was the theory that you read?
Well, apparently it's something to do with Black History Month or something.
Was it?
Yeah, it was in October, yeah.
That's what I read.
It's got nothing to do
read
with
about
Nicole.
It.
Have you got a, so clearly, Steve, from your was it? That means that you've got a completely
okay,
different
I've got to hear
theory.
This
so Steve, pray tell.
I think I read that it was to do with Bob Marley, No Woman, No Cry.
Nah.
And he was having a dig at his missus.
No, I don't think so. No? It does say No Woman on it though, doesn't it? Or One Love. Yeah. Which is a different song entirely.
The
hat's come off now. He's had enough. That's it. He got back to the witch.
Yeah.
Right. Now then, I mean, it was a sad Grand Prix as well because they had the minute silence for the two guys that that died, unfortunately. But were you aware that the RSPCA have been involved in this Grand Prix?
Are we back to the dogs again?
No, it's not the dogs. It was down to Rubens Barrichello, actually. And there was a sad passing in the pit lane. Rubens went in for a bit of a pit stop. And I don't know whether anyone else noticed, but just in the bottom left screen there was a cockroach. And the cockroach ran out from the pit garage, obviously looking to help with the tyre change. And was progressing at a fair rate of knots, it has to be said, in fairness to Rubens. But again, that's the next shot. That's two frames on. And look where the cockroach is now. I mean, this thing's the little bugger's motoring. And unfortunately, Rubens pulled away when the cockroach was there.
So, what type of telly do you have? How did you spot that?
I watched it on the computer today.
Have you got like Super iTunes. HD or something?
No, but there you go. That's so that was it. So the little cockroach pulled out of the Williams garage before Rubens pulled over his head. There we go.
Aww.
A sad loss to the motor, the Calcutta or motor racing.
That just shows that if you're going to be in the pit lane, you've got to wear a helmet.
Absolutely. The pit lane is a dangerous place. Dangerous, dangerous place. There we go.
Says it on the back of every ticket. Motorsport is dangerous.
Dangerous indeed it does, yeah.
That is a hell of a... The grandstand behind it, though, just in your photo, it's a hell of a construction there. The cantilevered building's amazing.
Even Eddie Jordan, who's pretty a bit of a naysayer about most things, said that he had no idea how the roof was staying up.
He wears lovely dresses, though.
the famous shirt saga, yeah.
Perhaps the roof's just
really
not finished yet.
It would have been best this year, though, really, wouldn't it?
Do you know, when we started watching the coverage of that on Sunday morning, I was thinking, I cannot believe the tweets that are probably going on right now about that, about what he's wearing.
I thought he looked good. I thought it was nice.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I wasn't going to decry it because I knew what he was doing. So fair enough. But I just thought I can imagine that there's probably some interesting tweets flying around.
It was a little bit painful to watch, though. It was the stereotypical European man goes to India and tries to blend in. All the Indians were there wearing T-shirts with Vettel on.
Yeah, with a grey beard.
They showed the whole thing of him going to the place where he bought it as well, didn't they?
I tell you what, I'd rather wear that than the white jeans. Blinking heck. Tight white jeans as well.
Yeah, he survived to the forum. DC didn't. What does that tell you?
I wondered how Jake did after he tried that food.
if David was ill on white jeans, that isn't good. That's true. Very good.
Belly belly all round.
Except he wouldn't have been wearing a Vettel t-shirt. It would have been Vettel.
Well, as we know now, Vettel.
It's just that he gets criticised for saying it Vettel.
What about Sutil? Out doing Sutil.
Sutil. Yeah. What about him?
What about Sutil? He did the rest, didn't he, on the grid?
Oh, Paul had a terrible race.
Awful, awful. Finished 13th in the end anyway. Sutil outdid him for grid placing. And the Toro Rossos as well on the grid, 9th and 10th.
Mm.
And also, don't forget, old Alguersuari finished top 10.
Yeah, I mean, him and DiResta are really proving to be the up-and-coming drivers at the moment. They really are. I know DiResta had a bad race this time, but generally this season they've been consistently good.
Give them a decent car, who knows? But having said that, the Toro Rossos were supposed to be extremely fast in a straight line.
Well, you could see, in all seriousness, you could see maybe after next year, Alguersuari replacing Webber in the Red Bull.
Of course, India have got a new sponsor now. Or is it a new owner or a new sponsor? So
it's an equity partner.
Ah, right.
Called Sahara.
But yeah, that might help with improving next year's car.
And I don't know if it was a bit of a joke, but I don't know if any of you saw it on the forum, but the Force India's, I've forgotten his name, team principal, his brother is CEO of Sahara or something.
No, I think what he meant by that was he was his business brother, because Eddie Jordan made the same mistake.
Right, okay. I must have missed the joke or something, but I didn't know whether that was real or whether they were having a laugh. So
I was watching the forum again in work today, because Monday's always slow, and the person who was sat next to me said, "What the hell is he on about?" referring to Eddie Jordan, because he was just chatting nonsense. It was brilliant. Desperately making it up as he was going.
Oh, yeah, that's the general reaction to Eddie, isn't it? A lot of
the
time.
I want to go to work one weekend.
I want to go to work with Chris tomorrow. Mm. Chris, can I come to work with you?
If you must, yes.
It's not watch the forum obviously. In work, that'd be great.
No, yeah, absolutely. That's what the iPlay is for.
Hang on, what's the
forum?
Help Mondays pass.
Again.
I watched the whole race today.
Again.
Again.
So have I.
Again, yeah.
God, it was good, but it wasn't that good.
Yeah, I spotted that cockroach Canada. On Fast Forward, boys. I forgot to mention that.
Well, I may have fallen asleep through the middle half an hour of the race on Sunday.
Yeah, quite high on the potential fall asleep bit.
Don't tell anyone.
By the way, talking of Canada, did anyone see Martin Brundle's tweet today? Apparently, their Canadian coverage has been nominated for a BAFTA.
Mm. I'm not surprised. That was brilliant. Watching the guy brush in the water away for 3 hours. Nothing better in the world.
It was one hell of a Big Phil.
Yeah. No, I think it was actually. It was very good.
Wasn't that where he resorted to talking about race car being race car backwards?
We're still more interesting than anybody TV's coverage, so I'll take that any day.
Yeah.
Oh man, absolutely. Jonathan Palmer. Oh, don't remind me. 71% of cars did not start in their qualifying position.
Yeah, I know.
Are the stewards getting a bit doolally here, a bit free with the grid penalties?
Well, a lot of it was to do with Hamilton, of course.
No, 71% of cars is not to do with Hamilton.
Yeah, no, I know, but because Hamilton was we qualified Q2, that pushed everybody down the grid.
No, I think there's
oh no, no, it pushed three of them down the grid, didn't it?
Yeah, there's quite a few other cars. Caused the shuffle. It wasn't just Hamilton.
There was Hamilton, Petrov, as well.
Yeah. Perez, Kartikeyan and Ricardo that was all got penalties.
And Williams had an absolute turd of a Grand Prix. They were awful.
Unfortunately, it's the standard fare for them at the moment. They're really not having a good year.
Yeah.
Well, I thought
and yet there's still this rumour about Kimi Raikkonen coming back with Williams and... Well, I can understand him coming back, but not to Williams, really.
Yeah, I can just... I mean, he's not got a very good temperament at the best of times, but I can see him really throwing his toys out of the pram with frustration at Williams.
There's two things there. First of all, lap 56, the commentary for the whole of the lap, for lap 56, was Raikkonen coming back. And that shows you how boring the race was. Four laps to go, that's it. There's four laps to go. The race is on. Anyone who wants to jockey for position is going to jockey for position. 11 and 12 is being sought out between Perez and Petrov. And Brundle decides to talk about whether Raikkonen's coming back to Williams or not. That was crap. Mm-hmm. And I've got to say, Barrichello has got to be thinking about retiring, surely, because he had a humdinger. The other thing that I thought about as well was, did you notice that I can't recall many retirements this year for things like broken axles, blown engines, knackered gearboxes, all that kind of stuff. Everyone seems to have finished or gone off. But there was three instances this week of an engine blowing, a gearbox going.
Yeah, and I noticed that. Cars have been incredibly reliable this year.
Well, of course, the thing is with the engines, they have eight engines to last the whole season.
But is this
so they're obviously designing them to be a lot more reliable.
No, but what I'm trying to say is, I'd be interested in what you think here, Chris. Are they coming down to the fact that it's just the last lot of engines, or was India a lot more brutal, do you think?
It's a good question. Well, we're nearing the end anyway, aren't we? So they may have underestimated the amount of wear on the engine. I remember in one, which weekend was it? Was it the weekend or the race weekend before last, where there was a feature on the engine allocations talking about how they distribute the engines through the season and how they use a fresh engine for Monza and a fresh engine for, was it Silverstone?
Right. I
think that, because we saw an engine go, didn't we, in pre-practice, and we saw a gearbox go in the race.
Wasn't it?
We saw, Maldonado had his gearbox fail.
Well, there was an engine went, there was a gearbox failure, there was a broken drive shaft.
You think it was the excessive dust?
Yeah, that's what I mean. I was sitting thinking that it was the track, because it just seemed like we've had nothing like this pretty much all season. Then all of a sudden, India just seems to be crumpling the cars.
The pit lane was full of fresh concrete, wasn't it? That was very dusty.
A lot of people saying that their cars weren't handling properly. Lots of oversteer going into corners and understeer. Yeah. And also, there was a tremendous amount of dust, as you say. But Massa was complaining about balance, and so was Hamilton at the end, and it wasn't to do with the collision from what they were saying.
It's like, you know, going back to like about the track, it's like the other tracks that we've had new recently, they've had the big concrete, you know, runoff areas, haven't they? Big smooth things where people can run off safe. Whereas here, they actually had things like grass, gravel traps, you know, as well as the dust factor. You know,
but it's
like, it was more like an old school circuit.
Yeah, but they have had that in other circuits, though, haven't they? Okay, maybe not. Did you see Tendulkar?
Yeah, waving the checkered flag.
There was a great quote from Jake. I thought Tendulkar was walking down the pit lane, 100 people around him, but Vettel walks in the opposite direction. No one even stops to look at him. They haven't got a clue what's going on there.
And that's quite nice in a way.
I thought Tendulkar's interview with Jake in the McLaren garage was really nice. I thought he came across really well in that. A really lovely, sweet guy. But I was laughing my guts up at the interview with Brundle, where Brundle takes the opportunity and says, "Holy hell, I've got Tendulkar," and he gets him and grabs him. And it's perfectly clear that Tendulkar has no idea what Brundle's saying to him. He can't hear a damn thing. So what do you think? Yeah, we're all very excited that it's coming here, and this is so special for India, and it's fantastic. Yeah, so... what are you going to do after the race? Yes, very excited. It's wonderful that the race has come to India. Have you got the time? Absolutely. It's very exciting. We can't wait. It's something that we've all looked forward to for a long time.
And they had a lot of problems with the car. Yeah.
It was great. But I thought Tendulkar came across well. What about the Austin, Texas thing? What did you think about that one? Because we've got a new Grand Prix next year.
DC racing that in the dirt. Yeah, that was fun.
Well, I saw the Red Bull promo for that. Because there was a YouTube video, wasn't there, that's in high
about a month ago? Yeah,
that is stunning. Yeah. Absolutely stunning.
Look. I can't believe they let him get away with it. Well, just let him do that. That was amazing.
Well, that would have wrecked that car, wouldn't it?
Wasn't it like last year's design or something, though? The actual car, or was it this year's? I wasn't sure about the current car.
It would have been a show car, yeah. They must be really hacked off about New York. Really hacked off. Can you imagine, they've just signed a 10-year deal with FOM, and Bernie goes off and does the New York deal.
Yeah.
So now the New York track's going to be called the US Grand Prix, and they've got to call themselves, Grand Prix of the Americas or something.
I must admit, I'm pretty annoyed about that, because I do think it should be restricted, apart from, and I have doubts about the European Grand Prix, but I do think each country should not have more than one race.
Having just said that, though, given the scale of the states, I don't think they'll be short of patrons.
Yeah, because they used to run like USGP East and West, didn't they?
Yeah, I know they did, but that was only when there was far less Grand Prix than there are now.
I just thought it was very exciting that they were designing it literally from the ground, and it will make those curves that have got the up and downs, the kind of increase in and be hilly course. It'd be good.
Well, that was the only thing that really bothered me was you saw this track and you thought, this is great. Yeah, this is coming. It's going to look fantastic. And the guy said, yeah, there'll be a race here next year. And you're thinking, hang on. It looks like Pendine Sands, and there's going to be an entire racetrack there in 12 months, less than.
Well, they carved out the groove to lay the tarmac in. It'll be fine.
I don't think so. I mean, India has barely been done in 3 years, and they're thinking that that's going to come in the next 12 months. I just don't see it. And the quote of the entire day for me yesterday, and I'm going to read this out to make sure I get it right, but this was the guy that was... That owned the restaurant. He said, "Americans have got used to cars going round in a circle."
Yeah, that's true. and the guy said, "I've been watching Formula One since Lauda. I've been watching, all about F1, and then didn't understand who Eddie Jordan was."
But you can give him that one. And the other quote that I thought was brilliant was the guy that was the designer of the track showing the layout to Coulthard, and he said, "It's between the East Coast and the West Coast." And South America and Canada, it's globally central. America's understanding of the world has expanded to South America and Canada now, so that's not bad.
Yeah.
That's progress. There's a
bush in the background, yeah.
And it was the way that they were obviously advertising that there'll be a Formula One car doing donuts in the high street, and there was about 35 people watching. Imagine if you did that in Regent Street, it'd be... Tens of thousands of people.
They did it, didn't they, a few years ago.
It's brilliant. I went. It was good.
It's time for our regular feature, Only Their Mother Can Tell Them Apart. And this week it's provided by Steve on the panel. Thank you, mate. And the chat room kind of provided this one last week as well as. Daniel Craig and Petrov. Only Their Mother Can Tell Them Apart. Now, the one thing I would say, though, is I've trawled the internet this evening for nearly half an hour looking for pictures of these two in various formats. And the trouble with this lookalike is it's really just too hard to take the piss out of.
Because they both look quite hard.
They actually look quite... No, they just quite look quite like each other. And that's it, really. There's no... There's nothing funny about it. They just look fairly alike, yes. Which is not what the feature's about, really, but there we go. So there you go. Only Their Mother Can Tell Them Apart. Daniel Craig and Petrov, which is on the left, which is on the right, you decide. What's far easier to take the piss out of is Rowan Atkinson's look on his face. The Vassar incident.
Yeah, the old Gollum look.
And I've got to say, I love your new avatar for Twitter, Tony. You've taken that face... And you've put it onto a Neanderthal's body. It looks
it is Gollum.
But the thing I noticed about this photo is obviously this is just as Hamilton crashed into Massa, and he's in the McLaren pit, and you can see most people around him at that kind of like real passion. But if you look at the guy who's closer to the camera, he looks reasonably quite happy actually. Yeah, it's kind of a smile on his face.
That's because he's got $50 on Hamilton.
Yeah, maybe.
Probably more of a knowing smile, really. It's like, oh, it's happened again, sort of.
Question from Paul in the chat room. Do you think he was going to say the F word before he realised the cameras were on him?
Yeah, I think that was fairly obvious.
Oh, dear me. Right, the race. We've put it off long enough. We've only got 10 minutes left to do it in. Chris, you came on here thinking we were going to be serious about Grand Prix, didn't you? Sorry, mate.
I've been serious.
Oh, well, more for me.
The race. We got 60 laps to get through in short space of time. Barrichello hits Maldonado, his own teammate, at the off. And the HRT also manages to go off in turn three. Button shoots off Webber. But there's a whole little flurry of impacts again, isn't there? Turn one again.
What about that beautiful double pirouette from Carter Kayan?
Yeah, there was a fair few old contacts. I mean, I keep coming back to this question. Has F1 got a turn one problem? Because the one thing that you can say about the China Grand Prix was no issues with turn one. It was a beautifully laid out track for that, wasn't it? Long sweeping turn at the end of the first straight. That's what you need. No?
Well, that was an excessively wide turn, wasn't it, going into it? It was excessively wide. So
yeah, and then it really narrows up as it comes out, doesn't it, that one? I mean, I can't see it on the feed, but
I think yeah, that combined with the lack of traction, and although they're all top class races, they're still not going to be quite sure of what they're going to be doing in that situation. Unlike the first corner at Nürburgring, where everyone knows who's going to break when.
Yeah.
Good. And the usual suspects go around the outside. Yeah. No. They're just so fragile, aren't they? I mean, you dink them and they break.
Yeah, but I thought what was interesting was, like I said, this year at the Chinese Grand Prix? It was, wasn't it? It was a long, sweeping, smooth first turn. And they raced into the corner. They jockeyed for position. They got where they were going to go. And then there was hardly any contacts in the first three turns.
I think you also get that in Malaysia as well, don't you? You know, because it's sort of a, well, it's like an S. It turns into an S, but it's like very much a rounded off.
Yeah. China's an interesting corner because I've only driven it in the game, obviously, but you head into it full steam, give it a dab of brake, and then just keep on turning, and the car will slow itself down. So I think it's probably easier to avoid an accident in that corner as long as you don't lose back traction and just fly out and take everybody else with you. But
well, here's the big question, though. Is do people watch F1 for the crashes anymore? Because I don't think they do. No, I don't think they do.
That's the fun of it. Come on, Monza. The first corner at Monza, and you just see that back marker just flying down the grass. And I was going, go on.
And,
yes!
And hit Webber. Canada, you always expect it as well, don't you? You know, that first corner.
Yeah, and at Spa as well.
Spa, yep. Which it makes the race just start crashing history.
That's why you watch it. Spa. You watch it for the T1 crashes. Yeah. I'm obviously completely out of touch.
Well, no, you have to admit, the first two laps are probably the most exciting part of the whole race.
True.
Yeah, it's more even, isn't it? Because they have none of the aids until lap three, isn't it? So,
Well, not only that, but also all the cars are closer together then, so you get more overtakes and stuff like that, don't you? Until the pit stops come, so.
It was an interesting comment from, was it Brundle in the forum afterwards, where they were talking about how hard it is for new drivers or existing or old drivers to get back into the sport, and there was a comment about how there used to be 40-some cars on the track. Can you imagine 40 cars on track into a turn one?
God.
The way they're built now.
No.
It's been manic.
They used to cut it down with pre-qualifying, didn't they?
But how would you do it? Would you start the race in phases? I mean, and no one wants a rolling start because that's just lame.
I think we should have a Le Mans start. Get the drivers to run across the track.
Oh, that would be fun, wouldn't it?
Gentlemen, start your own engines.
Stuff for dogs. Let's have drivers running along the track.
Yeah, pass the cars down one side diagonally like they used to do, and they have to start from the other side of the track.
I thought
that's
really
just what they're going to do for the American race next year.
Because they were talking about off. Sorry to get back to the track again, but they were talking about the track being very, very clean, and a diagonal line through the finishing straight, didn't they? So because you'd come out of the last turn and sweep out to the right hand side, and then you'd slowly track across back to the left for the right-hand turn into T1. And they were saying that the optimum positions, the optimum grid positions for clean track were going to be 9 and 10. 9 and 10, sorry. And
and they couldn't really complain about a dirty side anymore on Poland.
No, because 9 and 10 went to the, what's it, boys? Albert Schwer and the other fella. What's his name? Oh, come on, help me out, you buggers.
Toro
Rosso's, yeah, thank you. But I can't remember the other bloke's name. Albuschwari and.
Not Lee,
Buemi.
Buemi,
there we go. Buemi, that's it, yeah.
The other Sebastian, yeah.
Gimme carnage, says the chat room. Oh, okay, fair enough. I'm obviously nothing.
What's everyone think of DRS then?
I like it.
It's interesting because it just showed how much Vettel was on top of his game, because in the first lap or two, he just pulled out the 1.7, the 1.5, not the 0.7 to allow Button, I think, at that point to be able to catch up because the DRS opened. But it does kind of change the complexity of the racing that if you're less than a second, then you're basically guaranteed to pass the person in front. And if you're further than a second, it's a lot harder.
I think on some tracks it's better, you know, because there's some tracks that have actually had the two zones, haven't they?
They're pushing for double DRS.
Easy, I think, but.
Go on, Chris, you say?
Well, they're pushing for double DRS, and tracks like Sepang are right for double DRS, and as I understand it from watching the coverage, that's how they're angling to go in the future, wherever desirable. So we're going to see more of these 1 kilometer straights, I think.
Yeah, it was interesting two times. That it was when I think Webber was just almost trying to overtake Button in lap.
In the early laps, wasn't it?
Yeah,
in
the early
right
laps.
At the start. Yeah.
And that was interesting. But for me, it was more interesting when I think there was a Mercedes ahead of a Ferrari. It might have been Alonso, and Alonso was trying to overtake, but the Mercedes just had more pace, even though the Ferrari had the DRS open.
Yeah, because they've taken advantage of the kerbs to balance it out, wasn't it? They've done that at quite a few tracks.
But it showed the pace of the Mercedes because it was actually quicker than the Ferrari in a straight line. It was.
Yeah, the problem the Mercedes GP have is that their engine is thirstier than other cars that use the engine.
Yeah. So it's heavier at the start.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the thing that was quite interesting was they talked about it a lot this week, that you only get that 6.7 seconds where it is of DRS. And it resets when you go past the start line. And my thought would be, you know, if you want to make it really interesting and turn it into a lot more chess-like as an activity, what you should do is open up the number of zones where DRS can be used, but not change the time. Keep it at that very, very low level. So there clearly isn't enough time to use all of your DRS around all of the zones. And and it not just being a case of, well, okay, you know, you've got 2 seconds over, so you can only have 6 seconds out of eight that are available. You should have 6 seconds available to you out
and
of
then it cuts.
40
yeah.
that are available in the race, or in the lap. Because then that would really bring in an element of, well, you know, how do you use it? Where do you use it? What are you balancing it off against? Plus also, the guys that have got KERS don't know when the DRS guys are going to be able to kick it in. So there's no case of, right, I'm going to hit the DRS zone and just hit KERS because I know I'm going to get passed if I don't.
Yeah. Did anyone notice Hamilton's right front tyre was really wobbling up and down, or whether it was just the painted line was just not quite in the centre? But
maybe Nicole was wrapped around it.
Maybe.
Was that not the left front?
Left front if you're looking at the car, right front if you're the driver.
From the driver's camera.
Yeah.
I thought it was left front. I think it was Lewis's. There did seem to be something.
Perhaps it was the addition of a Ferrari push rod.
Yeah.
Right. So Vettel is 2.7 seconds up at lap four. At the end of lap five.
Lap four.
Vettel is 4.2 seconds up. I mean, this guy's phenomenal.
He's a machine, isn't he?
He's just brilliant. You can't. I'm really getting upset with the guys that are slighting him about it being boring and that kind of stuff. And what was really brought it home to me was the engineers coming on saying, Sebastian, you've got the fastest lap. For God's sake, slow down.
So they keep telling him, and then the last couple of races, and he's gone and done the fastest lap on the last lap, hasn't he?
Again. Yeah, this guy is brutal. He wants every record going. He wants to crush everyone
Perfectionist.
Around him. Absolutely.
I got excited that's lap 49. Button was 2.8 seconds behind Vettel. I thought this is an opportunity here, but I think Vettel does it on purpose. And then decides, I'll let you get 2.8 seconds, and then I'm going to pull away. And they finished at 7-8 seconds apart at the end.
Yeah.
It's just.
Yeah, I don't think we'll see too many more like Canada, where Jensen is genuinely chasing him down. Not this season, anyway. Hopefully next season.
I think Vettel's learned from his mistake there.
Yeah.
I mean,
so he's done it a few times, hasn't he? And now.
Well, now McLaren have second spot as well. I think they're going to be using the races as experimentation sessions. Whitmarsh himself said that they can't resist putting new parts on the car. So, if anything, the gap's going to widen, isn't it? Ooh. Stick a new front wing on. It doesn't work, but they don't care anymore, do they?
I mean, in one of the practice sessions, wasn't there something about a lump of rubber in Lewis's wing that was still there?
Oh, yeah, I remember. Yes, they ran it, didn't they? They just poured Flovers on it and then ran it.
Yeah, they just left it in there, see how it affects it. And then they pulled it out, and then he went off and did a lap with it as normal.
Because it inexplicably had more downforce than they expected or something. It's just great. Right, guys, come on, right. Love the rubber at the car, come on.
Rubber parts, I'm telling you, it's the way forward.
Yeah. Lewis, let's just stick this random part on the car and see how it performs.
Let's get the Lewis Massa collision out of the way then. So, who was right? Who was wrong?
I have an interesting theory on this.
All right, okay. Glean us, Sarah, go.
When I saw the incident, I thought, that's a racing incident. They can't possibly penalise anybody. And then I saw Hamilton pit and thought, okay, then maybe Massa might get a penalty because he's lost, because he hasn't lost out like in the way that Hamilton did. So lo and behold, Massa gets a penalty. So I think it was purely, it was a racing incident, but the stewards gave Massa a penalty because it was a 50-50, but Hamilton was disadvantaged because he had to pit.
Yeah, it's a bit like when Massa had the puncture, you know, with the situation reversed, really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, they gave him a penalty. They wouldn't have given the penalty if it wasn't for that puncture.
Yeah, because I think if Hamilton had managed not to pit, which there's no way he wasn't because he lost part of his front wing, then they may well have not taken any further action.
Steve, when you're pulling your masks on, any chance you could hit mute?
Okay, sorry, mate.
That's a definite improvement.
So,
the only trouble, you haven't got green ears, but never mind.
At Total F1, there's a survey running at the moment, and the current layout of the survey is as we're showing there. Totally Hamilton's fault. The stewards got it wrong. Is 13.9%. Hamilton was to blame more than Massa. Is 14%. It was a racing incident. Is 26%. Massa was to blame more than Hamilton. Is 14%. And it was exactly the right decision. It was totally Massa's fault. Is 30%. One third, one in three people thought that Massa should have got a penalty at that point anyway.
So I saw that graph and I was quite surprised because I thought Hamilton would get a big whiplash. Is that a UK website? I can't remember.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking as well.
But yeah, my thoughts on that were Massa, yes, he was more in the wrong, you know, this time, but penalty, if it hadn't been for the damage, you probably wouldn't have got the penalty.
Well, I mean, going into the turn, that's the furthest point forwards that Hamilton gets on Massa, and there is no way on God's green earth that Massa doesn't know he's there at that point.
No.
He's nearly alongside him.
It's like, had Eddie Jordan on the forum, you know, watching the replay, and he goes, oh, he's looking over. He looked over about five times.
Yeah,
and
doesn't necessarily mean
he sees anything.
They're just playing chicken.
I heard them say that, Tony, but I didn't actually see it myself.
There's another way of looking at that in terms of if you were racing that, or if you were, you know, playing the game and that's what you saw, the last thing you would do is brake going into that corner if you were in that position, would you? You wouldn't think, I'm not going to get this position here.
I mean, even after, in the interviews, Massa did say, oh, I did know he was somewhere there, but he didn't know precisely.
And if you're going to beat him into the corner, but I mean, the thing that Coulthard came out with, he said you've got to have the dominance in the overtake. You've got to be at least halfway along the car. Well, he is halfway along the car in that image. And then when he turns in, all Massa's got to do, I think, is leave the width of a car for Hamilton to make it through on that turn. And I think he's got no issue, but he doesn't. He comes straight across the corner. He's looking for the apex, knowing full well that Hamilton's there. And before you know it, the two of them T-bone and they're off. I've got to say, I agree that it was Massa's fault.
Mm. Yeah, you see from the T-bar footage, the T-cam footage in the one of the replays from Massa, and he's looking right, he's looking left, he's looking right, and then he turns.
Yeah.
Because he knows what's going to happen, and he hopes, I think, he's going to come out a bit better.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's descended to that. It's quite sad, really, in a way.
Schumacher Hill thing.
Do you think it must have been red mist, though, pardon the pun, because why would you do that sacrifice, deliberately sacrificing your own race?
I wonder what the odds are for the next race of them two coming together again. I bet the odds are very small.
2-1.
In fact, I think maybe Massa was looking at this, looking pretty much the same as Steve is looking right now.
Green.
Well, even after qualifying, yeah, there was a sort of little bet going around. It's like, oh, they're going to come together in the race, aren't they? Yeah, because they qualified right next to each other in the end after Lewis's penalty.
I think Johnny Herbert took the very simple line of, listen, mate, I know he shouldn't have been there. I know you turned in to get the apex and you were right and he was wrong and he should have braked because he hasn't made the overtake. But, dude, his girlfriend's just left him. Come on. That's the way I think it played out in the stewards' hut.
Do you think when Hamilton was being interviewed in the pod afterwards, do you think he kept looking over his shoulder this time?
Never. Lewis is hard.
I didn't think much of Massa's sort of post-race handling of it, though.
We don't usually get to see any of the individual team press conferences, do we? Unless they go and show them on the forum. It's always interesting to hear the drivers. I guess they feel a little safer when they're in their own little, you know, cubbyhole doing the conference for the journos. And that would have probably just been a flippant comment from him. And he's got the language barrier as well, but it's interesting. He doesn't want to give it up, does he? Mm. He just doesn't want to give it up. It's just going to roll on, isn't it, until it comes to blows.
Can you see a Prost Senna moment where they collide, they get out of the car and they start going for it?
It did cross my mind.
You need a ring set up at the track side.
Just get out of a blazing row in the pits. Just be done with it.
I think you mentioned early on, after the event, Massa then pitted, and then I think Hamilton was due to come out. Massa pits, but I think they pitted Massa on purpose, because if he hadn't have pitted, he would have been on the same track again with Hamilton after the incident. And at that point, you were thinking, no, this isn't going to be good for either racer. No, they're going to take each other out. So I think the Ferrari team did take action to keep him away from Hamilton.
I think we should have them two, you know, in the tuk-tuks they showed in the pre-show for the race. Have them race in those.
Just a separate race on the infield.
Leaning out, kicking each other.
Just in a big circle or something. I don't know, set up a little oval or a, you know, little karting track.
Right, we got a magic moment from the Grand Prix? Steve, do you want to start us off?
You nicked my magic moment. My magic moment was the... Not you nicked it, but it was the rallying before the race from the Formula One car on the Austin circuit. That was brilliant.
It was good, if slow. I was impressed with that rise up to turn one with the wheel test.
Yeah, no, I'm quite excited by that track.
The track diagrams that came out, you know, when they first announced it, and they showed like a sort of topographical map, you know, showing all the elevations and that looked absolutely fantastic.
Mm.
Yeah, I think it's the changing levels that makes the Grand Prix. That's what makes Spa and places like that, definitely. Mm.
It's so much fun to drive just even in the game. It feels like a hill climb in an F1 car.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. Yeah. It's the best Tilka track for a long time.
They've been flat, haven't they? You know,
And everyone's slated Tilka tracks because they've just been boring and flat and Bahrain. You know, it's like, oh my God. But this is really interesting as a track, and you can tell the drivers like it. I think it's great.
Street track, you know, street races on elevations as well. You've got Monaco; it's got massive hills.
Well, yeah.
Well, it's what we're going to get with Austin. New York could be a nice flat one for a change. Just bumpy.
Yeah, they'd be more like Singapore, but I suppose. But
right angle turns everywhere. Tony, have you got a magic moment, mate?
Well, there wasn't much to choose from in this race, was there? But I suppose the Massa Hamilton moment.
Collision. Look for the collisions. There we go then.
Yeah.
Sarah, what's yours?
I've got two.
Oh, greedy guy.
Being a Jensen fan, I'm obviously going to pick the first one, which is Jensen's start to get up to second from fourth, which is awesome.
Yeah, T5, he burns off Weber. That was one of mine.
Yeah. And the other one, it was Schumacher's way that he managed to overtake Rosberg near the end of the race with the fastest laps while Rosberg pitted.
Yeah, he finished fifth in the end, didn't he, Schumacher?
Yeah, from like 13th or something, wasn't it?
Yeah. That was Schumacher of old, because he used to do that a lot when he was at Ferrari.
Mm.
He was the one that mastered that thing of booting it when the other driver that you're trying to overtake comes in for tyre changes.
That's what he was doing as well when he was building up the team and, you know, helping them improve the car and that, you know, because first couple of years at Ferrari, it was like the Mercedes is now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
Chris, have you got a moment that stands out for you?
I do. And whilst everyone else is watching the action at the front, my favourite bit was Naren Kaftekian on the first lap. So he clipped a few cars, he was at the back. But even at the end, when he was being interviewed, he still had this ridiculously happy face, and I felt so happy for him that he because you do feel genuinely happy. These guys are like, oh, we're never going to have an Indian Grand Prix. Then all of a sudden, he's got an Indian Grand Prix. He can race in his home country. It must be such a wonderful feeling.
It was really a home race sort of smile, though, wasn't it? It's like, yeah, I'm racing here at home.
It felt for once, and I know India's as they said the second most populous country in the world, but there's not a lot of money going around. And whereas instead of you see these Grand Prix popping up in the countries where there's lots of oil money, big magnates. This felt like a race that was done for the right reasons. And I was really happy to see a native enjoying his home race, even if he didn't come.
Yeah, it was a shame that Karen Chandhok didn't get to race as well.
That was a shame. I saw him
practice session, didn't he?
He did get to go out. Yeah, he was the first person to post a lap, so he's got that at least. Although he wasn't the first out on track, but I saw him walk past the camera on the forum, and he did look a bit down in the mouth. Felt a bit sorry for him.
Yeah.
And it was perhaps a rash decision by Fernandez to not pick him, because we saw what happened in the race. Didn't go great for Lotus.
No, not at all. My magic moment was definitely button burning off, as Sarah said, just taking Weber in that T5 turn. But then when Weber was coming back about lap five, Weber tried to take him on that tight hairpin where it goes from ridiculously width to really, really narrow, which I thought was a dead interesting corner. And Button rebukes him, and then they accelerate off and it goes into those lazy S turns. And I don't know whether this was deliberate or not, but just the serendipity of the fact that they've had this tussle and Jensen's come through. Jensen cuts the line and sticks a puff of dust right in Weber's face. And for me, that was just quintessential. Have that, sunshine. Back where you belong. And I thought that was really cool. Well done, Jensen.
Well spotted.
He's Australian. What the hell?
He lives in Buckingham.
I don't care. He's Australian.
Chin.
Right, our sponsors, UK2.net, they keep us afloat. They host the whole network on their servers. They give us unlimited bandwidth. None of these shows would happen without them. And as a result, I big them up all the time. But actually, they're a really good service, as well as they're very reasonably priced. And they do a tremendous amount to support lots of our friends as well. Don McAllister's with them. And I know a couple of other people that are hosting podcasts are thinking of going over to them as well as. UK2 is going to pick up British Mac, I think, at some point as well, maybe as a sponsor. So they're a fantastic bunch. They're really pumping a lot of effort into supporting podcasters here in the UK only. They're not going for overseas podcasters. So please support them in return if you could. If you possibly can, go to the BagelTech website, bageltechnews.com, and just click on their logo. That's it. Just click on the logo and go through and just give them traffic from our website so that they know that we're sending people through. If you want a domain name, or you want a VPS server, or you want co-location services, or any of those kind of things, then here's the fantastic deal. You get 15% off with everything that you buy from them, providing you use the offer code BagelTech. Make sure you use it. We're still getting emails from them saying people aren't using the offer code. I can't get over this. Use the offer code. Get the 15%. It reinforces the fact you've come from us. If you're transferring a domain in or hosting in, there's a DNS management charge that comes with UK2. It's something that BagelTech listeners don't have to pay, though. So you can use both codes. You get BagelTech, which gets you 15% off. But then if you use BagelDNS, it will take off the 15% management. It will take off the £15 charge for DNS management. So you get a double whammy, fantastic benefit to you. They're really looking after our listeners. They're looking after us tremendously, because since we've been doing video, we've been consuming a vast amount of bandwidth, and they pick it all up. So please, please, please support UKT.net, because we would be absolutely lost without them. Very, very grateful. Thank you very much.
And they got a competition going at the moment.
Well, I wasn't going to mention the competition. Oh. Unless you're in the chat room, it's going to be pretty much bugger all use. You can win a Nintendo 3DS for the next hour and 26 minutes.
Get going.
After that, your stuff. So if you're listening to this, Steve's just kind of raised your hopes there and dashed them at the same time, almost. So bad luck. And Sarah is so queued up that apparently she nearly was going to take the banner off at midnight tonight, but it's going to happen in the morning now. So there you go. Right, last thing then, standings. Who's going to take second place?
Jensen.
Yeah, Jensen. I hope Jensen as well.
Well, I mean, Alonso's only one good win away with the Jensen runoff.
Definitely a two-horse race. The other two haven't got the bottle to do it.
Alonso seemed to have given up on it, though, this weekend. I think he made some comment about, it's going to be really difficult for us to sort of get second, so we'll settle for third.
Two races left, though. Technically, Lewis could still do it, couldn't he?
Yep, just.
Lewis?
Lewis could still technically do
not
it.
Not a chance.
Nah, more chances.
He hasn't got the right mindset.
No, I'm not saying that they're not long odds, mate. That isn't a one plus.
Yeah. But well, we know what's going to happen in Brazil, don't we? Mass is going to take him off.
On the last lap.
Yeah, of course. Last corner, maybe?
It's like the closing number in a bad musical. Massa versus Hamilton.
Just bring on Timo Glock to sort that out. That's what happened in 2008.
Yeah.
The odds are for the Abu Dhabi, it is Vettel.
No.
Then Button. Yeah. Then Button, then Hamilton as in third position.
Those bookmakers, they really like taking risks, don't they?
That would pretty much, if that happened, that would pretty much give Button second place in the championship.
Yeah. Odds for championship next year, Vettel, then Alonso, then Hamilton. I would have put Button as higher.
I think there's a bit more sway on the tech to come with that outcome, though, isn't it? I mean, I think Vettel, you could stick him in a go-kart and he'd still win the world championship.
Yeah, same thing they used to say about Schumacher.
Yeah,
like, you could stick him, give him a wheelbarrow and he'd be running along.
Yeah,
but how are the Red Bulls going to cope when they lose their extra downforce? It's going to be an interesting equaliser next year.
Oh, I have found the odds on Hamilton and Massa's cars coming together during the next race.
2-1.
5-1.
Oh, we'll have some of that.
Shall we do a group bid?
Yeah, no, I'll put £20 on that.
Now we've got Hamilton and Massa to touch during the race. Hamilton and Massa to collide, forcing one or both to retire from the race, is 10-1. And Hamilton and Massa to collide during the race and then come to blows.
Oh, so the Senna Prost moment.
1-25 25-1, yeah. So I'm not a betting person, but.
No, clearly not. 1-25 wouldn't be worth getting out of bed.
10-1.
We'll be back 13th, isn't it? 11th to the 13th of November, 2 weeks' time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we'll be back for the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix, which I thought finished it last year, but I may be wrong.
Yeah, it did. And they switched it with Brazil, I think.
Right.
But, yeah.
So we'll be back for that, and you can join us, and we'll do all of the fun stuff afterwards, as long as there is something fun and not just the usual boring crap that we've seen this week. Have a good weekend. See you soon.